Great characters in the scriptures, and like I've said this morning, I love to study these characters in the Bible. The Bible doesn't flatter them. You notice that? The Bible doesn't flatter none of them. They all mess up pretty good. I mean, the Bible does not flatter Samson at all. The Bible doesn't flatter Peter. The Bible doesn't flatter Paul or John the Baptist. None of them. And the Bible said, in fact, in John chapter 2 over there, one time Jesus said He would not commit Himself unto men, for he knew all men and He knew what was in them. And not good, not good. In Judges chapter 13, Samson's a great picture. You and I gave you a little bit about that this morning. In Judges chapter 13, we saw this morning Samson, his name was Man of Son of Righteousness, a type of Christ. We saw he had a supernatural birth. We saw that God had the special salutation. The angel of the Lord announced his birth. We saw the separation that God had separated Samson from his mother's womb. We saw the sanctification that God had blessed him from his mother's womb. We saw the strength that Samson had. How the Spirit of God came upon him mightily. How that Samson could take a jawbone of an ass and kill 1,000 men. How he could take and with his bare hands take a lion and tear it in half. There was a man we're talking about. God had His hand on this man. This was a special man, no doubt about it, that God did. And of all the 13 judges there mentioned, Samson is more dedicated to Him. And there's more dedicated, more the power and the thing. Samson was certainly a special man in the arms of the Lord. Here we saw his strength. I will give you something else about Samson. Real quick, a few things tonight. I want you to turn with me. Judges chapter 14. And there's Samson's the thing that we notice first of all about him. That glaring in the story of Samson is his strength, isn't it?
Yeah.
But the second thing we see about Samson everybody knows about is what? It's his sin. Samson got in trouble. Look at Judges chapter 14 over there. In Judges chapter 14, and Samson knew what was going on. Judges chapter 14, remember Samson gives a riddle there to the Philistines and he's mocking them, playing around with them. And Samson was one of the biggest fools in the Bible, you know it? The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 9, that fools make a mock at sin. You know what Samson did? He made a mock at sin. He played with sin. He mocked sin. He played with it. He toyed with it. In Judges chapter 14, he had that lady there. And he had that riddle. And look at Judges chapter 14, verse 15. It came to pass on the seventh day that he said to Samson's wife, entice thy husband, that he may declare us the riddle. We may burn thee in thy father's house. Called to take, we have not so, verse 16, and Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me, and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth the riddle of the children of the people. I mean, she's weeping there and throwing out every little trick in the book, and has not told it to me. And he said unto her, but behold, I have told it to my mother and father. How shall I tell it to thee? And she wept before him all the 7 days while his feast a lesson, and it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him. I mean, Samson just toyed with that sin, and she told the riddle to the children of the people. And the man of the city said to him the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said to him, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you wouldn't have found out the riddle. I preached about plowing my heifer. Y'all remember that a while back? You know what Samson's problem was? They could plow with his heifer. Samson had to sin. You know what Samson's sin was? He made a mock at sin. He toyed with it and played with it. Look at Judges chapter 16. In Judges chapter 16, there's Delilah. Judges chapter 16, there's Delilah. In Judges chapter 16, verse 14 says, And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek. You remember Samson has a Nazarite vow, remember from this morning? And part of the Nazarite vow was that he couldn't touch anything that come from the vine. No grapefruit, nothing from the vine. You know what the valley of Sorek means? You know what Sorek, the word Sorek, the Hebrew word is? Vine. You know what? He went in the valley of the vine and he loved a woman whose name was Delilah. You know what Delilah means? It means languish. It means a temptress. Tempt. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Samson should be getting a picture right now of what's going on, wouldn't you think? But not Samson. In verse 5, and the lords of the Philistines came unto her and said, entice him. That's what his wife said over there in Judges 14. Entice him and see wherein his great strength lies. And what means we may prevail against him, and we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee every one of us 1,100. She sold him out. In verse 6, and Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lies, ere we that mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson, you know, went through there and goes through that thing, and he just plays and mocks and toys with sin all throughout it, playing games with her, knowing what she was up to. And come down to verse 15, and she said unto him, here it is. Same song, different verse. Same deal. Same deal with over there in Judges chapter 14. Judges 16 verse 15. And she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee when thy heart is not with me? And thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lies. And it came to pass when she pressed on him daily with her words and urged him that his soul was vexed unto death. And he told her all his heart. You know what Samson's problem was? I kid him down there at the rescue mission. I preached about Samson before down those rescue mission, those men down there, you know, and there's about 400 or 500 men down there, and preached to them for years and years. And I preached a couple of times about Samson. I said, you know what Samson's problem was? Same problem some of you guys got tonight, women. And they all laugh and cut out. That was his problem, though. Can't live with them, can't live without them. You heard that saying. Samson was strong enough, Brother Chris, that when the Spirit of God came upon him, he could take the jawbone of an ass and kill 1,000 men. But in the lap of a deceitful woman, he was like little milk toast. He was weak as a little baby. There was his sin. That was his besetting sin. Let us run the race that is set before us, laying aside every weight, and the besetting sin which does so easily beset us. That was his sin. There was his sin. Samson didn't learn, did he? I mean, same song, different verse. Next thing you know, look at Judges chapter 16, verse 19 says this, and she made him sleep upon her knees. You know what sin will do? It'll put you to sleep. See, he fell asleep right in the lap of sin and deceit. Sin will put you to sleep, and you won't know anything's going on. And the next thing you know, Samson's asleep, and she calls for the man, and she said, hey, let's cut his hair. And they shorn him of his hair. And the Bible says in 19, and she called for a man. She called him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And began, and the Bible said, and she began to afflict him. Here was a man that killed 30 men of Ashkelon. He could take a lion and rip it in half. He killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. And a woman now is afflicting him when sin came in. You know what sin will do? It'll afflict you. He can take a strong man, a grown man, a man that could go one-on-one with Godzilla and turn him into a little baby that week. Just like Samson. And Samson fell asleep in her lap. And he was shorn of his strength and his power with God. And sin will afflict you. Something else about sin. Look at Judges chapter 19. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man. She caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep. And said, I will go out as at other times and shake myself. And he was not, that the Lord was departed from him. Samson didn't even know it. You know what sin will do? It'll deceive you, my friend. It'll deceive you, and you won't even know that God has left. I've seen in this church many times people that have left the church tonight that's not here. Brother, I'll tell you what happened. That thing, when sin gets in, it'll afflict you. It'll put you to sleep to the things of God. And the next thing you know, you won't even know God's around anymore. He was not that God was part of. There's no more conviction in their life. There's no more concern in their life. They're not in church anymore. You say, what does sin do? Brother, it'll put you to sleep in the things of God. And before you know it, God will depart and you won't even know it. Just like Samson. Something else about Samson. I tell you what sin did. Look at verse 21. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Brother, that's one of the most pitiful sights in the whole Bible right there. There's the champion of God. There's the one of the strongest men that ever lived, that the Spirit of God came mightily upon him, and there he is in the prison house, and the Philistines took and they put his eyes out and they bound him and they had him grinding in the prison house. You say who was? There was a champion from the Lord. There was a man with a special birth that was set aside from his birth, that was set aside from his womb, that was separated, sanctified by God, and the Spirit of God was all on him. And the next thing you know, he falls into Skid Row and the sorrows of sin. Just like that. He was a champion of the Lord. He didn't even know God had left him. You can see several things in there. I want you to notice sin's finding. Sin will find you out. Samson played with sin, and he played with sin, and played with sin, and played with it. And I'm going to tell you, play with sin, you mess with sin. I tell you what sin will do. It'll find you out. Numbers chapter 32, verse 23 says, Be sure your sin will find you out. Sin is finding. It found Samson. I mean, Samson thought he had all that strength. He thought he had it made with God. He got to the point where he just relied on himself. And the next thing you know, he toyed with that sin and fell asleep in the lap of sin and was shorn from the strength of God. Sin will find you out. Proverbs chapter 7 talks about the strange woman, about that deceitful woman. And it says, Proverbs 7:26, for he hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. And Samson went down. He was finding. Sin found him in the sorrows of sin. It'll find you out. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. You won't mock God, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Sin will find you out. There was Samson one day. He was champion of Israel. And now he was. There he is, one of the most pitiful sights in the whole Bible. Eyes put out. Sitting in the prison house, bound with fetters. Walking and grinding around a grinding wheel there in the prison house. You say, who was that? That was a champion from God. That was a man that had a special birth. That was a man that had the salutation of the angel of the Lord. That was a man that was sanctified and separated from God. That was a man that had the strength of the Holy Ghost all over him. Down there in the prison house, sin will find you out. During my generation, there was a preacher. His name was Bob Gray. One of the greatest preachers of my generation is Bob Gray. He had died in Jacksonville, Florida. Pastored First Baptist Church, I believe is the name of the church. Trinity Baptist in Jacksonville, Florida. He pastored it for 38 years. He had a good Bible school down there. Bob Gray preached my graduation in Bible college. When I graduated, he was a commencement speaker they had. He preached. I've still got to take, Miss Martha. It's called Strengthen the Things That Remain. I was one of the greatest messages I ever heard. He's one of the greatest preachers in this country at the time. He pastored that church for 38 years. It was a big church, Trinity Baptist in Jacksonville, Florida. Well-known preacher. I mean, he could preach. He could lay it out. When he was in Bible school toward the end, Bob Gray resigned from his church. And he surrendered to the mission field to Germany. And he went to Germany as a missionary. And boy, when he did, a lot of us preacher boys, a lot of preachers, we thought, man, that's amazing. This guy gave up his church and his school and all that and surrendered to go to the mission field for Germany. Well, it wasn't quite that way, we found out later. A little bit later, come to find out that Bob Gray had been molesting children in his school all these years. I mean, here's a man of God like Samson that had the power of God all over this guy. Turns out he's molesting those kids and he got caught. And when the church, rather than deal with it, they shipped him off to Germany, hoping to just hide it and put it under the rug. But I want to tell you, sin will find you out, friend. And they found that old preacher out and they arrested him, brought him back to the United States in 1980 until 2001 it was. To 2007, brought him back 2007 and extradited him over here. And I remember sitting on the news, it was on the news, and he was in a wheelchair. He's 81 years old, Bob Gray, and he's in a wheelchair and he looked like hell. I mean, his face, you could see the sin that was got on. You could see, my friend, how much this is taken out of him, brother. I mean, this guy looked terrible, and they were wheeling him down that wheelchair. They took his disposition, and 150 times he pleaded the Fifth Amendment, wouldn't answer the questions. I mean, one of the great preachers and fell, and before he ever went to trial, I guess in mercy of God or whatever, God killed him with a stroke before he ever went to cry. I mean, they shoved it to church and they sent him to the mission field trying to hide that sin. But I'm going to tell you, just like Samson, he was a big man, Bob Gray was at one time. But that sin will find you out. There used to be a track. I hadn't seen it for years. Been quite a few years. But on the front of the track it has the world's greatest detective, is what it says. And you open it up and one side real big it says, sin. Be sure your sin will find you out. I want to say sin is finding. I tell you something else about sin that's blinding. It's blinding. It found him out, but it blinded him. It said in verse 21, but the Philistines took him and they put his eyes out. Sin will blind you. You know what part of Samson's problem was? Over in Judges 14, it said he went down to Timnah and saw a woman there and said, hey, I want her. Over there in Judges chapter 16, 1, it said there was a harlot there and he saw her. And Samson's problem was getting his eyes off God. And before he got through, you know what happened to those Philistines? They blinded him and put his eyes out. You know what sin will do? It'll blind you. It'll blind you to everything and everybody you love. That sin will blind you to everything you have but that sin. I've seen a man down there at that Jimmy Hill Rescue Mission come to that altar and weep and try to get hold of God and try to get a break away from that sin. They have given up everything in their lives. Everything they loved because of that sin. All they see is that old sin. I got a friend of mine, a preacher friend, his boy's in rehab right now. They took him to rehab a couple of weeks ago, a good friend of mine. And this boy's been in a lot of trouble, been in trouble with the law, been in trouble with drugs. And this kid's in his late 30s, 40s, probably in his 40s now, and his life is just about shot if he don't get this thing together. And the preacher told me, he said, Brother Terry, I took him to rehab, and he told me this. He said, Dad, I've got to get this thing straight. Sin's killing me. It's killing me. He got to spend 6 months there, and he said, he was telling me the other day, he was excited about it. He said, Brother Terry, he said, that's the first sign of hope I've seen in that kid. Because you know what sin will do? It'll blind you. It'll blind you to everything you love. Everything you care about. It'll blind you, your joy, your happiness, your peace, your comfort. It'll take it all away. And all you live for and all you see is that sin. It'll consume you. Brother, it'll take your life away. I remember years ago, there was a full-page ad in the newspaper, probably 35 years ago. I probably got it somewhere at the house. It was a full-page story in the Birmingham News. Back before they had the internet or anything, I used to save all those. I got a filing cabinet with thousands of articles and stuff I used to save back in those days. And it was a story of a young girl. And she was like in her late 20s or mid-20s, a beautiful girl. It showed her picture in the paper. I'll never forget it. I mean, this girl could have been a model. This girl was a beautiful young girl, come from a good family, they said. And this girl had spent time in prison, several years in prison for drug possession and drugs. And the article goes and tells her story and tells how Miss Liz, she had a baby over here, a little boy, 2 or 3 years old, waiting for her. And you can imagine that little boy every day wanting to see his mama. When's mama coming home? When am I going to see mama? And that, you know, she had to love that baby. And this article talked about the day she got out of prison, Brother Ben, the day she got out of prison, they arrested her that same day trying to buy some dope in North Birmingham. And this article, the policeman who was booking her and read her story and saw how she just got out of prison and how she had a baby over here and a child waiting for her. And that article, it said that prison, that policeman held up that pill she was trying to buy with tears in his eyes. And he said, lady, I got to know something. I got to know something. Is this pill worth all that? And I'll never forget the answer. You know what she said in that article? She said, yeah, it's worth it. It's worth all that. You know what sin will do? It'll blind you. Just just like Samson. Here's a champion, the man of God. He found him out. It'll find you. It'll blind you. I'll tell you something else it'll do. It'll bind you. Look what it said. And the Philistines took him, and they put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza, and they bound him with fetters of brass. Here was a champ of God. Here was a man of God. Here was that man that had the strength that was so mighty when the Spirit of God, and they bound him with fetters of brass. Brass is not very strong metal, by the way. But he couldn't break it. Can't break that hold of sin. Jesus said in John chapter 8 one time, He said, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. You know what sin will do? It'll take you and bind you just like a little child. And you can't break hold of that sin. It'll take your whole life, my friend, and consume it. Sin will do it. I've seen it happen to many, many, many Christians. I was talking to Brother Charlie Andrews the other day about some of his people that used to be in his church. A lot of them, like some we got here. We got some here, used to be here, that's in sin. Some of them in prison, all kind of different things. He's got a bunch of them. I asked him about so-and-so. Well, you don't want to know, brother. I mean, these were Christians. They walked with God one day. It's like Samson, man, a man of God, had the power of God on him. And if you're not careful, sin will find you out. It'll blind you. It'll bind you. Just like a little child. Whosoever committed sins, a servant of sin, the Bible says. I was preaching down at Jimmy Hale Mission years ago, many years ago. I'm 64. I was 33 years old when I preached this message, another message, but I was preaching to Jimmy Hale. I remember I was 33 years old. That'd be 31 years ago I preached. And I was preaching down there at Jimmy Hale Mission, preached a message, and a lot of men came to the altar that night, were praying. And I never forget, there was one man. And he was 33. I remember I was 33 because he was the same age I was. He had the same name I had, Terry. And he was from Chicago, this fellow was. And he was down there at the altar praying and getting hold of God and crying and weeping for the Lord. And he pulled out his wallet and he began to show me pictures of his children and his wife. And he was crying. He said, "Preacher, I want you to show you something." He said, "Preacher, this right here, this is a picture of my little blind boy. He's the apple of my eyes," what he said. And I mean, he was just pouring, weeping and crying. And he said, "God gave me a little blind boy." And he said, "God gave me a good wife. She takes my children to church. She tries to live for God." And I said, "Buddy, why don't you go home to those kids? Why don't you get your life straight and go home to those kids and that wife, buddy?" And I'll never forget that fella. Brother Chris, he just walked in the aisle shaking his head, tears rolling down his face. You say he didn't love them. Oh, he loved them. He'd have died for those kids. He loved those kids as much as you loved yours. You see what happened? Sin had taken hold and bound him like a little child. And he couldn't break that sin. Got hold of him. Just like Samson, sin will find you out. It'll blind you. It'll bind you. I tell you something else about sin. It's grinding. It's finding. It'll find you out. I tell you something else. It's blinding. It's binding. And the next thing you know, the Bible said, and they bound him, and he did grind in the prison house, going around that thing. You know what sin will do? It'll just grind you down. It'll just grind you down like powder. I've seen men, my friend, that just been ground and ground and ground and ground by sin. I've seen men that looked like they were 80 years old and they were 30. The Bible said in Proverbs 13, the way of the transgressors is hard. It'll grind you. I was this evening before I came to work. I was looking on AL.com and on the internet, and there was a story of a man named Justin out here in Oakville. And this man was 34 years old. And he just got arrested. He's had a life of crime. And he's dying now with stage 4 colon in Lyme Correctional Center prison. And they're trying to get him out, trying to give him medical attention. And the judge said, "I can't let him out." He said, "He's a career criminal. He said if there was any chance of him not doing it, we could let him out. But he said, look at his record, all the burglary, all the thefts, he'll hurt somebody. And then his wife is pleading, the lawyers are pleading, some are pleading, said, hey, he needs cancer treatment, we need to get the treatment, he's going to die, he's got stage 4 colon cancer, he's got some kids and some babies. And that judge says, I can't let him out, there's no way the law won't let me. You know what sin will do, just like that fella? It'll grind you like powder. There's that fella dying in prison. And they can't let him out because of his crime. Sin will grind you. I'll tell you something about it. It'll find you. It's blinding. It's binding. It's grinding. It's winding. Sin's called the long and winding road. There's old Samson over there in the prison house. Day after day, the champion of God, man. That's got to be one of the most pitiful sights in all the Bible. There he is, eyes poked out, no eyes. Defeated, humiliated, depleted man, just grinding day after day, just going in a circle. That's what sin will do to you. It'll just grind, whine. Never and hardly can get off that old sin once you get on it. He's just grinding there in that old prison house. You say, who was that? That was a man that had a supernatural birth. That was a man that had the salutation from the angel of the Lord. That was a man that was separated to God from his mother's womb. That was a man that was sanctified. That was a man the Spirit of God came upon mightily. That was a man that had the strength that could kill 1,000 men with a jawbone of ass with the Spirit of God. And now he's sitting with his eyes poked out, walking through a grinding house. What a pitiful sight. That's got to be one of the most pitiful sights in all the Bible. J. Vernon McGee says this about that. During this time, we come to a judge that we cannot pass over. His name was Samson. And he was one of the most outstanding of the judges. He probably had more glorious opportunity than any man that ever lived. Everything was propitiation for a career and a brilliant future. But he failed. That is the tragedy of this man's life. During Samson's time of leadership, we are given the secret of his success, the secret of his strength, and the secret of his failure. Again, let me repeat, never was a man born with a more glorious opportunity than this man, Samson. And there he is, in the prison house, grinding, his eyes poked out, bound. And the Bible says that's not bad enough. You know what it said a little bit later? It said the Philistines said, hey, let's go get him and make sport of him. Let's bring him out here and laugh at him and mock him is what they're saying. Look at Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. Verse 25. And when their hearts were merry, they said, call for Samson that he may make a sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house and he made them sport. I mean, they're mocking him and laughing at him, putting him out there in front of them. They're all drinking, having a good time. And there's the man of God, man defeated, humiliated, a mess of a man out there, his eyes poked out. What a pitiful, pitiful, pitiful sight in the Word of God. But you know something? Here's the message, see. Everything I preached about this morning and everything I preached about tonight is getting me to this point. God wasn't through with Samson. God is in the salvage business. God wasn't through with Samson. Despite the fact that Samson rebelled against God, he disobeyed God, the fact that he mocked sin, all the things he did, God was not through with a man called Samson. Look at Judges chapter 16, verse 21. And the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. And he was bound with fetters of brass and did grind in the prison house. Well, watch, look at the next verse. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow. You know what? God was getting that old boy ready. There's the second chance of Samson. There's the salvage. I preach this message, I call it the rise and fall of a champion. And I preach it the comeback of a champ. He'd been shorn, he'd been humiliated, he'd been spoiled, he'd been blinded, he'd been grinded. I mean, everything about it. The champion of God had been defeated, humiliated by the world. But I'm glad the God of that Bible is the God of second chance. I'm glad the God of that Bible is a God of mercy and long suffering. And I'm glad that he's a God of second chance. And despite all the things Samson went through, despite the mess he was in, God wasn't through with Samson. Look at verse 26. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, "Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them." Now the house was full of men and women, and the lords of the Philistines were there. And there upon the roof were about 3,000 men and women, and beheld while Samson made sport. And the Bible says this in verse number 28, "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me." Whoo! It got the job done right there. Samson said, "Hey, Lord, remember me. Don't forget me, Lord." And you know, if it had been one of us, all that Samson done, the mess he'd made and rebelled against God, I'm so glad God didn't say, "Buddy, you had your chance and you blow it. I'm through with you." No. You know what God did? He remembered Samson. You know, I'm reminded of that dying thief in Luke chapter 23. He's on the cross dying, crucified there with the Lord. The Bible said, he said, we receive the deed rewards of our deeds. For this man hath done nothing amiss. And he turned to Jesus. He said, "Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me." That's what Samson said. "Oh Lord God, remember me." I'm glad that God was not through with Samson. I'm glad tonight. And this is the message, that God is a God of second chance. Brother Chris preached a great message last Sunday night on Matthew 7:1. "Judge not lest you be judged." I like what he said in that message. We're not here to condemn people. They're condemned already. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned." Already the Bible said, we don't have to condemn them. They're already going to hell. You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to give them a second chance. We're trying to salvage them. We're trying to get them out of hell. What we're trying to do, you know what God did with Samson? He gave him a second chance. You know what God did with Peter? Peter denies the Lord, swears and cusses and all that kind of stuff. It had been me and you, brother, we'd have took him out of the ministry. Peter went out of the ministry. John chapter 20, Peter said, "I go a fishing." You may not know what that means, but that meant he's going back to his old life. That's what he was doing before he got right where God called him. Remember, Jesus called him. It said he immediately left his nest and followed him. Over in Matthew chapter 3, in John chapter 20, after he denied the Lord, Peter said, "I'm going fishing." So I'm going back to the old world. God can't use me. And Jesus tells them over there in Mark chapter 16 one time, He said, "You go tell the disciples and Peter, I'll be meeting them." You know, I specifically told Peter, because Peter didn't disqualify himself. He said, "God's through with me. God can't use me." I want to tell you, God was not through with Peter. God's not through with me and you. I've made so many messes and so many things that's on the line. I'm so glad God didn't say, "Hey, buddy, you had your chance. You done blew it." I'm glad He's a God of second chance. I'm glad there's Saul of Tarsus, one of the greatest persecutors of the Christian faith, going down the road to Damascus, ready taking Christians. The Bible said Saul made havoc of the church, and it said he put them in prison and persecuted them. He said when Peter was stoned, he was there holding the coats of those that stoned him. And I'm glad that God met Saul of Tarsus there on the road to Damascus and saved him and salvaged him. And he wrote 13 books of the Bible. I could go on and on and on and on and on. I'm glad tonight all the things Samson did. He was bound, he was blinded, he was grinded, he was winding in that old prison house day after day after day. And albeit his hair began to grow. And God said, "I'm not through with you yet, buddy." You know what happened? And he got between those pillars and he took down that. And the Bible says over there It said he killed and delivered more of the Philistines in his death than he did in his life. The next verse says, picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died to deliver those people. In the same stance, he's up there like this, like Jesus on the cross. Jesus says one time in John chapter 5, verse 17, I believe it is, he says, search the scriptures, they testify of me. Every place you look in that Bible, you'll see a picture of Jesus Christ. I'm glad tonight God's the God of second chance. I'm glad all my life as an atheist that denied God and used God's name in vain and cursed God and blasphemed God and mocked God for 20 years, I'm so glad when I knelt down July the 30th, 1975, Pleasant Grove, Alabama, one Wednesday night about 7:30, Brother Ben, I got down there and asked Jesus Christ to save me. I'm so glad God said, buddy, you done made a mess of things. You don't deserve this. I mean, you've been blaspheming me and cursing me 20 years. You think I'm going to listen to you? No, that's not the God we serve. I think of Brother Earl Ankrum, been 25 years now traveling, one of the great preachers of this generation, man. Been traveling all up down this country, preaching every week, nearly every day, preaching on the streets. You know what that guy was? He was a Satanist. You know what he did? He worshipped the devil before he got saved. He come up through a generation of devil worshipers. You know what? You and I would have said, hey, buddy, you don't deserve a chance. You don't deserve a shot worshiping the devil. God said, I'll take you, buddy, just like you are. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Charlie Andrews, pastor of that church at Glory Land Baptist Church, been over there 36 years, that church. A great church over there, been preaching 40-something years. You know what that fellow was before he got saved, Brother Ben? He was president of the Devil's Disciples motorcycle game. Called himself a Devil's Disciples. You know what me and you have said? Buddy, you're not fit for serving me. You're not fit to be and saved. God would have just said, hey, you and I would just say, shut him in the rug, said, don't need you, buddy. Got saved. And God said, I'll take you just like Samson. You know what God is? He's a merciful God and long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what this message, this thing is? Is a second chance. All the things Samson did, mess. I mean, he was a mess when he got through. I don't think there's a more pitiful picture in the whole Bible than that fellow going through that prison house and grind. And I've drawn pictures of that. I've illustrated some books for some people about Samson. And I've drawn some pictures. Well, that's the most pitiful sight. Him, his eyes poked out. Oh, depleted, running that thing. Here was a man that God had his hand all over him. And the world would have said, buddy, you're a failure. J. Vernon McGee talked about it. There's not a man that had a more glorious chance than Samson. No better opportunity this man, and he failed. And yet God said, I'm not through with you yet, buddy. I still got a job. You see, the thing about serving God, and I love it, I don't care where you're at today. I don't care what's going on. I know Christians, and I'm not talking about so much people in this room, but I know some of them right now that come to this church, they're so far away from God and so messed up and so foreign thing. But you know what? I haven't lost hope. I haven't lost hope. You say, why? Because I know the God of that Bible. If they just give Him a chance. God's the God of second chance. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Brother Ben, would you dismiss us tonight in prayer, sir? Lord,